Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Phil Clay's redeployment takes readers to the front lines of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, asking us to understand what happened there and what happened to the soldiers who returned, interwoven with themes of brutality and faith, guilt and fear, helplessness and survival. The characters in the story struggle to make meaning out of chaos. The stories reveal the intricate combination of monotony, bureaucracy, and violence that make up a soldier's daily life at war and the isolation, remorse, and despair that can accompany a soldier's homecoming. Phil Clay is a Dartmouth grad and a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. He served in Iraq during the surge and subsequently received an MFA from Hunter College, where he studied with Colin McCann and Peter Carey and worked as Richard Ford's research assistant. It's a great pleasure to welcome Phil Clay to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It's a delight to have you with us, and I appreciate you spending the time. This is an amazing book. And something that I greatly enjoyed reading, in the sense that it really opened my eyes, and I found myself breathless on several occasions in hearing these stories. What brought you to wanting to tell? It is a collection of stories, and
yes.
So what brought you to want to tell these, and I guess give us a sense of your ultimate theme of what you wanted to accomplish in doing so.
Well, you know, it was very important to me to have a range of perspectives. I spent my time in Iraq as a public affairs officer. I ended up, you know, interacting with a lot of different Marines, soldiers, sailors. And, you know, there's no one kind of singular experience of Iraq. It depended very much on what you did, when you were there, where you were, and also what kind of person you were. And I wanted to break apart and sort of think about some of the complex jobs and decisions that people had to make, and then what that meant for them when they came home.
When that idea of what it meant to them when it came home is a ever-present idea in most of these stories, and I'm curious as to how much you think that's thought about or even debated within a soldier's life while they are in service, of how they are going to kind of make that transition to quote unquote normalcy.
Right. I mean, it's there's a couple things. One, there's just the sort of ways of being that soldiers can get into, or that Marines can get into, as a result of kind of the high pressure environment that they're in. And then there's also just the kind of strange dislocation that you feel when you go from, you know, certainly that I felt when I went from being a Marine, where everybody was sort of, an entire community was totally centered around the fact that we were a nation at war, and you go back to civilian life where it's very easy, if you don't want to think about the fact that we're at war, then you don't really have to.
When you look at the people and the stories that you tell in this book, when did they become apparent to you? I mean, how much of this, because there is such realism, there is such emotional depth in the stories. Did this come out of you while you were serving, an understanding and sort of a deliberate effort to get that down? Or did you need some time to pass to put it into a context and to be able to reflect on it?
I needed a lot of time to pass. I started writing the book in 2008, which is when I came back from Iraq. And it took me about 4 years, a little bit longer than 4 years, to finish it. I did a lot of research to write the book. I talked to a lot of Marines. Read a lot of books, did a lot of work, and then also just kind of the hard, slow work of trying to imagine what those experiences were like. And I think it took me time to get enough perspective to be able to write the book that I did.
I mean, you start off at a place where you say, "We shot dogs." I mean, that's where you start.
Yeah.
So how much did that set the tone for what you were going to write?
That sentence was the first sentence I ever wrote. Everything else in that story changed, but that sentence remained the same. It felt like you know, that was my entry point in. I'd known a Marine who had the experience during the Second Battle of Fallujah of seeing dogs eating human corpses, and they shot them to try and stop them from doing that. And the idea of talking about that and then having somebody come back home, you know, to his dog, have a dog lover who's seen that, for some reason that felt to me like, you know, the kind of entry point in into thinking about these subjects.
It is, it's fascinating in the book because you are writing about so many different kinds of soldiers. You are writing about very young men and women. You're writing about older soldiers. You're writing about chaplains and service officers and officers in general, lance corporals. You did that on purpose. That was intentional to write from those different points of view.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the military is this huge, complicated organization, and I wanted to get a broader sense of the roles that people play within that, and how they fit into the bigger picture and what those experiences are like. I wanted to get much, and certainly, you know, there there's so many perspectives that couldn't make it into the book, you know.
And in the end, with that, you're writing in the first person. There is all the stories are a first person narration. So you really had to get into their heads,
right? And I wanted the readers to have to do that, you know, to think about, you know, really what this means from the inside, and then also to, you know, be able to compare those narrators against each other and the way that the different narrators think about their experiences and interpret what they've been through.
Did you find, I mean, obviously there are commonalities, but were you looking for the things that weren't the commonalities, that stood out as something different?
I think, you know, I came back from Iraq with a lot of questions in my head and a lot of things that sort of troubled me or confused me or, you know, sometimes that upset me or angered me. And I think that what I was doing was just kind of slowly chasing down these things that felt really vital to explore. You talk about war, you're talking about, what we're doing as a nation, what it does to the, you know, psyches of the men involved. You're talking about masculinity, and you're talking about, but in the modern military, you also have, you know, women who are sometimes performing combat functions. Just this sort of whole complex array of ideas and emotions that I wanted to kind of slowly break apart and put under pressure in fiction.
You, as I mentioned, a few of these stories deal with soldiers who are now back and adjusting. And in reading those, I had to think about you, and with you coming back and adjusting, did you find writing about these situations and writing about because we talked about the time that it took for you to do this, given that some of these scenes are so brutal and so horrific and the episodes and stories that you write about are so difficult, did that help you in that transition and in that adjustment? Or do you feel that in some ways that you were, kind of adding to the pain?
Yeah, you know, I mean, writing the book was very important to me. It certainly upset me at times. If there's anything unpleasant in that book, I had to deal with it and think about it a lot longer than most readers will. But at the same time, it was... And you know, researching some of the stories or really thinking about some of the things, I don't know if it helped. It helped me gain a certain kind of perspective. You know, I changed writing the book, and I think my relationship to my own experience changed writing the book, and that was, you know, all for the better. Even though, you know, not every, and then, you know, there are sections that I think are funny and you know, try and get at the range of things that happen. But certainly it was, there were bits of the writing were kind of rough.
When you say you've changed, how do you believe that you've changed?
I think, you know, when you come back from Iraq, you get out, at least sometimes people would talk to me, about my experience, and I'd kind of discourse on what Iraq was, and I had sort of these very kind of fixed notions about what I'd been through and what it meant and what it meant for us as a country, and I think just writing the book made everything seem so much more complicated than the sort of stories that I was telling myself early on. And it just also just was sort of an experience of trying to be really understand what other people that I've known had been through, or, just what had happened over there. I changed in a lot of ways, but I think the biggest thing was just kind of a distance perspective from that experience.
Did you understand or have a better understanding of what led you to the Marine Corps in the first place? Of what brought you to that?
Well, I joined for so many of the reasons that people join. I wanted to serve my country. I don't think I would have joined if we hadn't been at war. I had this sense that, whether or not, there's a question of whether or not we should have gone into Iraq, but that's, I think, somewhat different because, I knew we were going, and I sort of figured that I could, at the very least, do my part and try and help make things better. I was very hopeful that I could do that. And I liked the ethos of the Marine Corps. I was a boxer and a rugby player in college, so, aggressive sports sort of seemed like a natural transition.
It seems as though, and I mean, I don't mean to politicize this or to make a social commentary other than it just seems to be the way we're going, that we're in this for the long haul as far as sending men and women to fight for us and having them come back. We're in a long haul. It's been a long stretch, and we're talking about decades now.
Right. It's a very small percentage of the population that goes. We have an all-volunteer military, and there are guys going on their sixth and seventh deployments.
So are we getting better as not so much on the military's part, but for us as a culture and as a society of dealing with redeployment?
I hope so. I think that we are trying. I think it's difficult because there is such a gap between the the military and the civilian world, and because there's so few who serve. But at the same time, if you compare the reception that guys got coming home from, say Vietnam to Iraq, it's very stark, the difference. And I think that I wrote this book as kind of my offering to the conversation. There are other veterans who are writing, who have things coming out, and also civilians have been writing some great books about the Iraq War and trying to think about what this meant and what it means coming home. Ben Fountain's Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk is one. And so I think we're sort of trying to approach this and starting to really think about what it means, and hopefully that's just going to continue.
The name of the book is Redeployment. It is published by the Penguin Press. Phil Clay, a pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for sharing your insights and experiences with us. My best to you.
Thank you for having me.
A delight. Thank you very much for being with us. Coming up next, we'll have Garrison Keillor in the Writer's Almanac. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.